Welcome to another episode of Ananda Marga Dharmacast. And this is a podcast series exploring topics in spirituality using the teachings of Sri Sri Anandamurti as the starting point. And I'm your host, Dada Veda Pragyananda. But people shorten it, call me Dada Veda. It's okay. So today we're going to look at a topic called Shiva's Seven Secrets. So this is based on a very ancient saying in the Tantra Shastras from the founder of Tantra, Lord Shiva, but it's also based on discourses given by Sri Sri Anandamurti, who explained what Shiva was speaking about 7,000 years ago. So in one of the discourses, it was given in Timmern, West Germany in 1979, Anandamurti began, and he explained that what happened was that in those times, Shiva's wife Parvati entered into a dialogue with him, and she would ask certain questions, and Shiva gave the answers, and those were recorded, you know, as first orally and then later written down, but they were kept for posterity, so other people, you know, the future people like us, could learn from that wisdom. So Shiva said, there are seven secrets of success. And here he's talking about spiritual success. You know, because there are many books on self-help books and books by executives about secrets of success in business and in life and different things like that. But here we're talking about spiritual success. Although Shiva was talking about spiritual success, trying to attain the highest goals of life and our place in this universe and to reach the very end of the human pursuit. Although he was talking about spiritual success, you're going to see that a lot of the secrets, a lot of the things which he gave also have pertained to our success in everyday life. So let's get into it. So Shiva said the first secret is firm determination. And he explained it in a sentence. He said, you have to accept this idea. I must be successful in my mission. I must be successful in my mission. And this is the first secret of success. Because to do something difficult requires a certain resolve. And that's why Anandamurti said in this discourse, he said that really there are three categories of humans. There is some category, a group of humans who will never undertake something bold or something great or something challenging because they're afraid they're not going to make it. I won't even try. Then he said that there's a second group of people. And this second group of people, they start. But then as soon as they're faced with any kind of obstacle, and remember that whenever you do something difficult or something noble, something good, it's not easy. It's usually met with obstacles, whether they be internal obstacles or from even the society around you. So Anandamurti said, you know, that category of humans, as soon as they meet that challenge, or then face that challenge, they shrink away, they stop. Okay, I finished, I'm out of it. But he said that the best category of humans are those who start a noble task, face some difficulty, but then keep their vigor up and overcome that difficulty. So he said those are the kind of people that Shiva was talking about, Anandamurti was talking about, that if you have that kind of drive, that kind of intensity, I must be successful in my mission, then this is the first step in success. And without that, you're not going to be able to do it. Then Shiva said, the second one is, he called it in Sanskrit, Shraddha Yuktam. Yuktam means to be attached to. Shraddha is a difficult word because there's no English equivalent of it. But the first part comes from a Sanskrit root that pertains to the universal truth. And the second part means to the pursuit of that truth. That means to drive all your energies. So as soon as you open your eyes and then you understand that I'm here for not just to maintain my flesh and bones, but to pursue my spiritual truth, my ultimate truth. And as soon as you, it's kind of like the firm determination, you move everything in that direction. That's Shraddha. Sometimes if you go out, I always say that if you go out on the street in India, ask someone what Shraddha means, respect. Yeah, it's respect in a sense, respect for your goal, what you want, but it's more than just respect for it. It means that you're really pushing all of your energy and in that direction of that spiritual truth. So that's the second factor. So really here we're incorporating a spiritual idea here. That it's not just I'm going to be successful to make $1 million. No, I'm going to be successful to pursue the universal truth. So this is the second secret. Then he said the third one is called Guru Pujanam. Guru Pujanam. So Guru means darkness, Ru means dispeller, the dispeller of darkness. And this is the meaning of the term teacher, you know, that commonly now people say, oh, he's this guru, he's that guru. But it's the guru, the one who's going to illuminate the spiritual darkness that people have. That is the real guru. And in the future, I want to do a video on who is the real guru, because sometimes people are fooled by that. So it doesn't mean if you grow a long beard like me, that makes you a guru. No, that doesn't make you a guru. A guru is the one who dispels the darkness. And Guru Pujanam means that when you find your teacher, then follow what that teacher has told you, what is given to you. And if we look at, like I said, some of these precepts, these ideas, these secrets, pertain to mundane life as well. Because in mundane life, you know, we don't learn, it's rare, okay, I can say we don't learn things without someone showing us what to do, how to do it. So we go to somebody and we learn at their feet, like they say, at the feet of the master, they say in India, but we go with respect and we go and we try to learn. If we think we know everything, and I will do it myself, like we have this idea, like I'm sitting here in America, rugged individualism, I don't need any teacher, I'll do it myself. But everybody has learned from somebody else. Nobody has done everything by themselves. The people who learn music usually went to some lessons, although there are a lot of great self-taught people, no doubt. But many people have gone, and people who learned physics and chemistry, they learn first from teachers. So we have to find a spiritual teacher and follow what that teacher has to say and move in that direction. So that is the third secret. It's in Sanskrit, it's Guru Pujanam. Pujanam means really, you know, like a worship, but it's more than a worship. It's really to find that teacher and revere those ideas and live up to them and become one with those ideas. That's what it is. It's not just rote memorization of something, but it's really to live those ideas. So Guru Pujanam is there. We find somebody who can help us and then move it on that path which is laid out for us. And then the fourth one is called balanced mind. Balanced mind. So our mind is it could be our greatest friend. It could be our greatest enemy. And sometimes people have an inferiority complex. Often, this is too often, people think, I can't do anything. I'm no good. I won't be able to do it. And sometimes people have, they're over the top with their superiority complex. They think they're the greatest thing in this world. Their ego goes until it's pricked and bursts like a balloon. So we don't want that that both extremes are detrimental to long-term success. If you have an inferiority complex, then you'll never even begin on any task. So, and especially spiritual task, which is difficult. So you have to have some idea of a balanced mind, and this is the best way. So to, if you think it's too high, then there was a teacher named Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he gave the idea. He says you should be humble, humble like the grass. So be humble, humble like the grass. But he said grass is also very great thing on this earth. It nurtures all of life, so we should be humble like the grass, but we should also be great also like the grass, and we should be tolerant like a tree. The tree accepts all the abuse of nature, but then stands strong and also gives fruit and flowers and everything to people. So we should curb our ego, keep it in check, but we shouldn't let it go down so that we can't undertake anything. And here I'll give a spiritual advice. There's one way to do it. But if you remember that all the strength that has been given to you, you know, whatever you can do, you know, whatever qualities you have, really, they're not permanent. They're given. Somehow you were given a gift. And that gift could be taken back. Like, you have great beauty today, but when you get older, it'll be different. And even something can happen, you know, anything can happen. You're strong now, you can be stricken by a disease. And if we keep that in mind, that our talents are not endless and are not permanent, if we can keep that in mind, we can move in a balanced way. So this is a balanced mind. It's very important. And then he said another one. He said indriya nigraha, or he said self-restraint. And this is also, Buddha also gave this advice to his disciples, that we have to have restraint. And restraint over what? Over our organs. Our organs. You know, so some people are unrestrained with their desires for whether it be food or sex or different kind of things. You know, this is one of the biggest challenges of life we have sensory things which drive us, but we can't let them pull us. And that's why in the Vedas there was this analogy that people made, that because in those times, you know, the horse-drawn carts were the thing, not, so they don't give an analogy in terms of an automobile. They said the human being is like a chariot. So what is that chariot? The chariot has horses. So what are the horses? They're the organs of the senses. So they have organ. But the chariot has to move with them. But if those horses go out of control, the whole thing is going to crash. So that's why the reins, which is the mind, has to be strong enough to control those organs. And in fact, that's a lot of what yoga is all about, is to rein in the organs of the senses and to control them, and then move in a proper way. And the mind will do that. And then the discriminating intellect is the driver. And then there's also a passenger. The passenger is the soul who is witnessing. So the image of the Bhagavad Gita is where Arjuna is driving and Krishna is behind the chariot. It's like that, but it's just a metaphor for what is a reality. So we have to have that kind of self-restraint. And if we have that self-restraint, then we won't go into some kind of excess, those excesses will take us off the spiritual path. And that's why these are the secrets of spiritual success. So if you have any kind of particular sensorial thing which is out of balance, you know, it could derange, what could be disturb your possibility of reaching your spiritual goal. So that's why Shiva said that we have to have self-restraint. And then He gave it his sixth secret. He said you have to have pramit ahar. Pramit ahar in Sanskrit, pramit is balanced, ahar is food, balanced food. You have to have that balanced food. So what is, the yogis can tell you what balanced food means. Food which is good for the body and good for the mind. And a lot of nutritionists don't understand that, because there are certain, we know, of course, but you don't have to be a nutritionist to know that, that certain foods are really not great. So if you're going to take a couple of beers, three, then you try to do your calculus and your mathematics, and you're not going to have such mental acuity. So we know that certain foods affect the mind, but even there are other foods that are more subtle than that have an effect. So you should learn from the yogis foods that is good for the body, good for the mind, and you should take that food. But also, there's another thing, even yogis don't sometimes follow that. You have to take it in the proper proportions. So if you have you have a food that's good for the body, it's good for the mind, but you don't take it in the right proportion, either the right amount or the proper proportion in the diet. You have to mix the different things of the diet. So you have to have that that balanced food. So these are the factors, the first six factors: firm determination, pursuit of that universal truth, guru pujanam, following this spiritual teacher, and balanced mind, indriya nigraha, the self-restraint, and then balanced food. And then Shiva gave us a surprise at the end. He said, there is no seventh factor. He said, first there are seven factors, but then he said, no. When he got to seven, he said, no, there is no. So either that's the humor they had at that time, or it's just really what he was saying, that you do these six, you don't, there's nothing more. So nobody can add the eighth factor, the ninth factor. You follow these six things, a firm determination and pursuit of the truth, following your teacher, and you keep your mind balanced, and you have self-restraint, and you have your balanced food. You do these things, and you will be successful, spiritually successful. And that's the greatest kind of success that anyone can wish for. So that's my little take on this discourse. I quoted it from Ananda Vachanamritam, and it's in various parts of that book, because he's given this. Nanamurti spoke on this topic several times, and I have also spoken on it several times too. So I hope this time helps you, and think about that and try to follow them and see what you get. So that's all I want to say, and I thank you for watching and listening. And if you're on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, make a comment, and maybe give some of your experiences in following or trying to follow these seven secrets. And if you have any suggestions for future episodes, let me know, let us know, and we'll do it. So that's about it. And if you're on any podcast platform or audio, then also subscribe. And if you're here on YouTube, also subscribe. And we'll see you in the next one. And until then, I bid you namaskar. It means I salute you with my mind and all the love and cordiality of my heart.